We have a very special guest today. He is the senior, he is the co-founder and senior publisher of the Daily Caller. His name is Neil Patel, and he's a former chief policy advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney. Mr. Patel, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Ty, how you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Well, you are a co-founder of the Daily Caller. For our listeners, tell our listeners, if you would, what the Daily Caller is and what your goals are.
Absolutely, happy to do that. We launched the Daily Caller 2 years ago under the premise that America had not enough news outlets that did real day-to-day reporting without the liberal bias that so often comes with news reporting. We, as I said, we launched 2 years ago, and we've had a great run. We had 6 million readers last month. It's dailycaller.com, and we publish 40 to 100 pieces of news every day.
Wow. All right. So the goal was to get out the message, or get out what the mainstream media wasn't getting out. Give for our listeners, give a couple examples. I noticed one on the website where families that had farms, the labor board said that the kids couldn't work on the farm and do chores.
That's exactly right. We have our lead piece this morning is about the labor secretary, Hilda Solis, publishing a rule which basically regulates family farms, regulates whether kids can work on their own family farms, regulates things like 4-H and what kind of training they can do at 4-H. Stuff like this is major news. It's not hidden from anyone. It's right there in the regulations in Washington, but you won't read about it in most American newspapers because it doesn't fit that sort of choices they make politically as to what to publish or what not to publish.
Don't you kind of think that it's that the mainstream media taking sides like that is almost anti-American? Certainly it's censorship in my view, but isn't that kind of anti-American?
Well, I don't know. I think it's anti-American in the sense that it's completely unfair. And in the older days when it cost a lot of money to print newspapers, it was a lot harder to take this on, but the internet is really helping all this because large numbers of Americans are completely unhappy with their news offerings as far as news reporting goes. And when I say large numbers, I'm talking over 80% of Republicans in America and over 60% of independents. These are not just your hardcore conservative crowd that doesn't like the news reporting. So for me, that's says something bad about America and about the system we have, but it says something great about the business opportunity we found at the Daily Caller. And we launched, as I said, 2 years ago. We've never run an advertisement, and we had 6 million readers last month.
6 million readers. Mm. You know what? That's a really good point. And the free, you know, those news corporations are free. This is a free market, and this is capitalism. They have the choice to report with a filter if they want to report that way. But I guess that gives you quite an opportunity, and maybe that's why you have 6 million readers, and probably a lot more as we get into this election. And as I turn to the election here, tell me what you think of the nominee, the Republican, the would-be nominee. He's not gotten the nomination yet, but Mitt Romney and his positions versus Obama.
Well, I think he is the nominee, pretty much the nominee, not officially,
right.
Obviously. I think last night you saw one of the first speeches of his general election campaign where he shifted gears and really unofficially accepted the nomination and sort of laid out his case against Barack Obama, and I thought he did a great job, actually. Is he as skilled of a politician as Barack Obama? I would say probably not. Does he have a real chance to beat him? I would say absolutely yes. And he is certainly much more of a free markets guy. He's certainly, in comparison to Barack Obama, much more of a small government guy. And I think the record that Obama has to defend now makes this a different kind of race than we saw 4 years ago. 4 years ago, now President Obama could run on hope and dreams and aspirations. He didn't have a record. And now he has a real record and a pretty lousy one. And and Romney's challenge is to make it about that record, make it about the economy. And it'll be tough because Obama's going to go after him and try to change the subject every single day.
Well, his marquee legislation, Obamacare, and to use Nancy Pelosi's words, they had to pass the bill so they could figure out what's in the bill. It was passed in the dark of night. How can Romney, with RomneyCare in Massachusetts, how can he pinpoint or how can he exploit that was not legislation the American people wanted overwhelmingly, and how can he use that effectively in the election cycle with having the baggage of RomneyCare?
Well, you just hit on the major complication to all this,
right,
Ty? And I don't know exactly how he does that. The way he did it in the primary was by saying that his plan in Massachusetts was for a state, and states are supposed to experiment. But does that make him the best messenger to take on Obamacare, which is still the biggest issue, I think, that many Americans have with President Obama? If you look at the polling on Obamacare, it's horrible. People don't like it. Now, is Mitt Romney the best messenger, the best guy to go after it? I think absolutely not. But can he do it? That's an open question. I think, you know, he's certainly going to aggressively criticize it, and as he should. And whether the American public takes criticism from a guy who passed a bill that seems pretty similar to it is an open question.
What can we expect from the Supreme Court, in your view, in regards to Obamacare?
Well, you're going to have to bear with me for 1 second, because I expect, and I've talked to a lot of lawyers who have clerked on the Supreme Court and who follow this stuff pretty closely, and I expect something a little bit complicated. Sadly, the Supreme Court has said over the years that the federal government can do almost anything it wants under the Commerce Clause. Basically, if a law affects regulation of commerce between the states, then the court will back off and let the political process decide if it's appropriate or not. That has allowed the expansion of the federal government into this behemoth we have today. To overrule Obamacare, they'd have to come in and throw out a lot of years of that case law. I personally would love that, because I would like the federal government to get back to being the more limited entity that it's supposed to be under our Constitution.
Amen.
But it is important to understand how big of a jump that would be for a Supreme Court, which has aided and abetted this expansion of the federal government. They've allowed all this expansion, that a lot of it getting out of the proper role for the federal government. So are they going to check that and put the federal government back in its proper place? I think they probably will in one area. I think they'll say that what Obama did with this individual mandate would have been allowed under the government's taxing authority, right? The government can issue taxes,
right,
and it can issue it for all sorts of reasons. But they're going to say that Obama did it wrong because he didn't pass it as a proper tax. And if you remember back then, when the legislation was being debated, Obama kept saying, oh, no, this isn't a tax. I'm not raising taxes. So now he's saying actually to the court that it is a tax, and I'm allowed to do it because it is a tax. And I think the court's going to say, yeah, that's right, but you did it wrong, so we're throwing it out, and you got to pass it again, which would be great, because he can't pass it again. It won't pass again in the current version of Congress. So if that happens, it's the equivalent of throwing the whole thing out, hopefully, at least that mandate part, and the thing doesn't work well without it. So that's what I'm hoping for, but it would be a big step for the court to do it.
And I hope they do. I hope they definitely throw that out. I agree with you there. Changing gears just a second. Who do you think is the best choice? And I've got about a minute left here. Who do you think is the best choice that Mitt Romney could make for VP, and why?
You know, there are a number of good choices out there. I personally have worked a lot with Senator Rob Portman, and he's one of the smartest people I've met in Washington. He's one of the hardest working, and he's so knowledgeable on the substance of these issues. He's had so many different positions of high positions and done well in them all, that I think you get a guy like that and you don't endure months of debating about his qualifications. You can just get right back to attacking President Obama's record. So I would love him to pick someone like that. Also, a popular figure in Ohio, where he's from, which certainly doesn't hurt. So if I had to pick someone, that's what I'd go with.
All right, we're talking today to Neil Patel, co-founder of the Daily Caller, and you moved your schedule around a little bit today to accommodate us. I certainly appreciate that. If our listeners want to go to the Daily Caller, it's thedailycaller.com, is that right?
That's right, dailycaller.com or thedc.com. Either one will take you to us.
All right, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Ty.
All right.